Wholesalers, welcome to another edition of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Hey, have you been out to the Wholesaler Mastermind site and looked at some of the MP3s that we have available to help you tune up your business? There's that Wholesaler Email Clinic. There's the How to Conduct More Successful Advisor Meetings. And, of course, there is the Creating and Marketing Your PVP, Your Peerless Value Proposition. All of those are de minimis in price, but extraordinary in terms of the value that they will provide to your practice. Wholesalers, I got a return guest today, and we want to have a conversation a little bit different. So if you're going for a run, if you're listening to us in the car, jump out of business mind for a second. Let's go over to your emotional mind for just a second. Let's have a little bit of a conversation with Mike Robbins. You may recall, if you've listened to us for a while, that Mike's got two best-selling books. One is called Focus on the Good Stuff, and the other is called Be Yourself, Everyone Else is Already Taken. For a number of years, Mike has been an expert on teamwork, emotional intelligence, the power of appreciation, and authenticity. His list of clients is long and illustrious. He has been featured on ABC News, Oprah Radio, Forbes, Washington Post. He's a regular contributor to Oprah.com. You can find him at mike-robbins.com, and, of course, that'll be on the website. Hey, Mike Robbins, welcome back to Wholesaler Mastermind Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Rob. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. So I told you that I saw this article. It was posted by someone in one of our LinkedIn groups. And wholesalers, if you're not at the Wholesaler Masterminds group at LinkedIn, because there's a couple of different wholesaler groups I know, if you're not at Wholesaler Masterminds group at LinkedIn, jump in there and get connected with me, because I'd love you to join what's going on at that particular group. Harvard Business Review, an author by the name of Bill Taylor, wrote a story called It's More Important to Be Kind Than Clever. And real quick, it told the story about a gentleman by the name of Brandon Cook, whose grandma was in the hospital with very, very ill with cancer. And grandma says to grandson, I'd love a bowl of soup. The soup here in the hospital is really cruddy. She used saltier language than that. And she said that she really wanted her favorite soup, which was clam chowder from Panera. The trouble was it wasn't Friday, and Friday is clam chowder day at Panera. Brandon, being a good grandson, calls up the Panera and asks the store manager what could be done. She, in turn, not only makes the chowder but sends over a box of cookies, which is a sweet story. But what's interesting, as the author tells it, is that on the Facebook page of Panera, this story was told and got 500,000 likes and 22,000 comments. And the author was wondering, what is it that we have all evolved to that makes this story hit home in such a way? And I thought I'd come to Mike and say, Mike, what is it about this in your interpretation, in your opinion? What is it that this act of kindness creates such a buzz?
Well, I think there's a couple different things about it. I mean, first of all, sadly, as I know you and I we were even talking about this before we got on our interview here, that sadly, you know, acts of kindness stand out in our culture these days because, you know, whether it's true or just hyped up media-wise, I think we all sort of assume in a cynical way that people are out for themselves, everyone's got an angle, everyone's trying to do something, and, you know, and everybody in the industry in which, Rob, you work with here as wholesalers, I mean, there's a lot of focus on both sides of the business in terms of go get it done, make it happen, and in the context of that, you know, acts of kindness don't necessarily always fit into the equation, so when they happen, people take notice.
You know, you work with some really large corporations of you know, fame and notoriety, which is to say, you know, you're working with the Chevrons and the Gaps and the New York Lifes and Google and and I'm just thinking, how do you think? Because those companies are no less driven. You know, it's not like you're working with, you know, hooded monks and monasteries.
Sure.
These companies are no less driven. How are they connecting the dots between, let's say, appreciation, because appreciation is a piece of the kindness equation.
Right.
How are they connecting dots between appreciation and the business mission?
Well, I mean, a lot of the work that I do, Rob, focuses with the groups, the teams, the leaders that I work with in these organizations and others on emotional intelligence. You know, and Daniel Goleman wrote that famous book, it's probably almost going on 20 years ago now, on emotional intelligence. And essentially what he said was, you know, more than two-thirds of the success of a leader or a professional in any context is more about how we relate to people than how smart we are, how talented we are. And so essentially the idea is, you know, emotional intelligence has to do with self-awareness. How aware am I of myself? How do I manage myself? How do I feel? How do I operate? And also, how relationally aware am I? And so one of the things when I'm working with a lot of my clients is to look at it, again, from a team perspective, from also a results perspective. You know, my background is, Rob, you know this, and maybe some of the folks listening know, I mean, I was a professional baseball player. I mean, talk about a result-driven, you know, endeavor. It's all about results. For you as an individual primarily, but also for your team. Did we win the game? Did we lose the game? What are your statistics? What are your numbers? Doesn't really matter how you feel. Doesn't really matter if you get along with your teammates. However, I know from experience of playing baseball in college at Stanford, from playing professionally with the Kansas City Royals, and then now even the work, I work with a few professional baseball teams in the work that I do now, fundamentally the success of athletes, and this is true for, you know, business professionals and people at a high level, it's very much an emotional, relational phenomenon as much or more than it is, again, being skilled at your craft and getting it done, because being able to produce and perform at a really high level and motivate action in others, whether it's to get them to do business with us or to get the most out of them if I'm working with a leader in an organization, you know, that's, again, an emotional phenomenon connection. It's not so much, again, how smart are we or how skilled are we, but our culture focuses on those things. What actions am I taking and what do I know and what am I offering, when in reality there's so much more going on.
My mind is going in a few different directions as you speak about that. I do want to backfill this other piece of what I read and prompted this dialogue between us. It has to do with Jeff Bezos from Amazon. And apparently he had done a lecture a couple of years ago, and he told this story about when he was a kid. He was 10 years old. He's in the back seat of his parents' car, and I guess he was a propeller head even at that age.
Probably.
Right? He was really in a steel trap mind and a passion for crunching numbers, so says this article. And he's on this summer road trip, and his grandma smoked in the front seat, and he got really tired of it, so he decides to do a calculation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Typical Silicon Valley kid. And his calculation was how many puffs equal how many cigarettes equals how much loss of life. And he apparently announces from the back seat, "Grandma, you've taken 9 years off your life." And though his calculation may have been accurate, the reaction caused his grandmother to immediately start bursting out into tears.
Yeah.
Grandfather pulls the car over to the side of the road and takes him outside of the car and says, "At one point in your life, Jeff, you will understand it's harder to be kind than clever."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and there's such a poignance in that story. You know, Rob, as you're saying that, I'm thinking of, gave a presentation a couple years ago on authenticity. And when I speak about authenticity, I often talk about the importance of kindness, right? Because sometimes we think of those things as being sort of, you know, different, if you will, or contradictory to one another. But I had a woman come up to me, and this is a bunch of people who, you know, run their own businesses, they're generating their own business. She makes a beeline right over to me, and she gets right in my face, and she goes, I'm authentic all the time. And I was like, okay.
Yes, you are, dear.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, what's the problem? And she goes, well, I've lost a bunch of business because of that.
Oh.
And I said, really? And I looked at her, and I didn't know her, you know, and I wasn't trying to be a jerk about it all, but I looked her right in the eye, and I said, now tell me the truth. Is it authentic or obnoxious? And she was like, you know, kind of offended, and she's like, well, you know, maybe a little bit of both. And I said, okay, I don't know for sure, but I bet you it was the obnoxious that lost you the business, not the authentic. I said, because I've never really talked to anyone. So, you know, I stopped working with her because she was just way too real. You know, so there's a difference. And when I talk about this, again, on one side of the spectrum, we're talking about kind of how we show up and interact with people. There's like phony, fake nice, cheesy, you know, all the like say whatever you got to say to do what you need to do to get the business or get people to want to work with you or like you, whatever. Most of us don't fall into that category, although we may find ourselves at moments in that realm. But as we all know, that's not going to be sustainable, both for our own well-being and our own integrity, as well as people are going to smell that a mile away and go, I don't want anything to do with that person. They're not genuine. On the opposite end of the spectrum is the kind of brutal, in-your-face, you know, nasty, just say whatever. And, again, that's usually not very helpful because it irritates, upsets people. People don't want to be around you. So what you want to find is And middle ground we often think of as like selling out. It's not, but there's a way in which we can operate with a significant amount of authenticity, genuineness, realness, telling people the truth. And when you're talking to people, especially, again, the people who are listening to us talk right here about very important aspects of their financial lives, of what's really, really sacred and, in a lot of cases, scary for people to talk to anyone about, you got to be willing and able to have very authentic conversations with them and tell them the truth. At the same time, to your point of the story, there's got to be a certain amount of kindness and empathy and awareness of that in that conversation. No matter how successful you are, no matter how much you know, in that moment when you're having that conversation, it's a very sacred and important conversation with that person. And so how they feel about you and do they trust you has everything to do with not only am I going to get this business, but how effective and successful is this relationship going to be?
You know, as you were speaking about, you're parsing this woman's words, right?
Yes.
You were bravo for you. You were cutting to the chase of was she transparent or was she obnoxious? Was
right.
she authentic or was she obnoxious? In a wholesaler language, we always talk about being able to be a good chameleon. We
yep.
can get along with everyone.
Sure.
Because, you know, that is a salesperson's creed, right? You have to be able to get along with the masses
yes.
in order to sell your stuff to as many people as possible.
Yep.
How do you reconcile, or do you have any thoughts about how do you reconcile the chameleon-ness, not a real word, but I made
right.
it up, the chameleon-ness that's required with the authenticity that lets the recipient of your chameleon-ness know that you're not contrived?
Yeah. It's a tough one. And I find it even in my business, you know, as a consultant, as a speaker, as an author who works with lots of different types of clients, I have to check in with myself all the time. Because while I'm not doing exactly the same thing as the wholesalers are doing directly, I mean, I'm out selling myself to lots of different people. And so I understand the nature of the chameleon-ness you're talking about personally, as well as coaching lots of people on this. And I think it's a bit of a paradox because on the one hand, it is the nature of what we all do when we're selling ourselves to a lot of different people. However, at the same time, I think there's a way for us and for everybody listening to think about, again, finding sort of my own North Star, my own true nature of who am I, how do I operate, what's important to me. And sometimes there's an egregious situation, and we've all walked away from a client or potential business and we're like, listen, as much as I want that business, I cannot work with that person. You know, and usually for most of us, it either has to be really extreme or our business has to be thriving so much that we're comfortable saying no. But I do think, again, the clearer we get, again, who's my ideal client? Where's my sweet spot? What works best for me? I think it becomes easier. And then at the same time, just checking in with ourselves, coming back to that place of kindness, right? The sort of the theme of our conversation here, as weird as it sounds, it's like, I know for myself, Rob, and I say this to a lot of people I'm coaching, like I can be myself and I can be kind to anyone. In fact, the thing about appreciation, which is the focus of the other book that I wrote called Focus on the Good Stuff, is that you can appreciate people you don't even like. Now, what that means is the word appreciation, actually, if you look it up in the dictionary, says recognize the value of. So one of the ways that you can look at it is you're dealing with a potential client or customer that you are pitching, so to speak, or someone you're already working with, and you realize, you know what, I don't like this person. But I'm not going to tell them I don't like them because that doesn't serve my purpose of doing business with them, or they have a different style. Well, what can I appreciate about this person? What can I learn from them? Maybe they're teaching me things about how to interact and operate with people that are different than me, that are challenging to me, that whatever the case may be. So again, it's not phony, like I'm acting fake nice. It's actually, wow, I'm going to expand my capacity to deal with difficult people or deal with people that are outside of my comfort zone. In fact, that's really valuable, not only to all of us who are trying to sell ourselves, so to speak, but just in life in general. Like, what if I didn't have to be so judgmental and critical and everyone's got to be my way and have my political views and have my orientation to the world? All those things, you know, I mean, it could be a personal benefit. So those are some things that I often offer to people is, like, take it on as a personal growth practice and challenge yourself to stay as true to yourself as you can. And the thing is that people tend to respond to authenticity even if it's different from them because, again, it's visceral. You can feel it when someone's being genuine with you.
Let me ask a question along those lines, probably the last question we have time for today, which is this notion of you were quite candid with that person.
Yes.
Right. And I distinctly recall as a leader, I had this reputation for sometimes being candid, maybe too much.
Yeah.
Having said that, how do we reconcile authenticity with candor, but we don't want to tilt so we piss people off?
Right.
How do you maneuver through that?
I think it's tough. I mean, I remember doing a workshop around that same time. It wasn't the same event where that woman came up to me, but we're having this conversation, and I'm talking to the group about being authentic, and I have a guy stand up at the workshop, and he says to me, like, kind of upset, Mike, you can't just go around being authentic all the time. And I was like, okay, well, why not? And he said, well, because there's consequences to that. And I said, you're right. You're right. I mean, sometimes you're authentic with people and candid, as you're saying, right? You know, people aren't going to like it. They aren't going to agree with it. You may put your foot in your mouth. You may ruffle some feathers. But I said to him, I said, now let me ask you a question. You tell me the truth. You think of all the relationships you have in the work that you do and where you have issues or challenges. Is it an issue of being too authentic or not authentic enough?
Mm-hmm.
And as he thought about it, and everyone in the room thought about it, and he basically responded, as then the conversation went to, where we run into problems usually is more on the side of withholding or being phony or inauthentic, as opposed to the few times, and it happens, when we're being authentic and candid, we can step over the line or we can, you know, offend, upset. But I really think, ironically, Rob, I think it actually comes back to this theme of kindness. Because if there's a way for us to be transparent, to be candid, to be straightforward with people, but do it with a sense of humility, a sense of, listen, I'm not right with a capital R. This is just what I see. This is what I think. The kindness can come through. Like, why is it that we're saying or doing whatever we're saying and doing? If it's coming from a place of, I want to actually connect more deeply with this person, I want to help this person, I want to offer them something, people sense that. It doesn't matter so much about what the words are, even what the message is. This goes back to, again, emotional intelligence and emotional connection. We can feel where people are coming from, and that has a lot to do with how we respond to them, not so much what they say.
Mm. Mike Robbins, always a great pleasure to get into conversation with you. And wholesalers, there's another MP3 out there, another radio show we did with Mike, so be sure to listen to that one. On the website, if you're inclined, go grab one or both of his books. I hope you have a chance to see him speak in some venue because he's got all kinds of valuable insights. And again, you know, this is based upon and formulated upon and built off of some of his experience early in life coming out of playing professional ball. So there's a really unique approach on a platform, again, the sports platform originally, that is certainly a different take on some of these concepts. Mike Robbins, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Wholesalers, Mike's going to be writing an article for I Carry the Bag magazine. If you're not subscribed, darn it, do it. iCarryTheBag.com. We'll be back again with another episode of Wholesaler Mastermind Radio.